are now listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire. Again, we have explosively true information for you. And I say explosively because when people's minds, their awareness, their consciousness, whatever you want to call it, when your consciousness becomes solidified, or let's just use a simpler term, when your consciousness becomes hardened like cement. Now, I'm sure most of you in life at one time or another have seen a bunch of cement mixers. Growing up in New York City, you'd see cement mixers all the time because in New York City, they're always tearing down giant buildings constantly and then rebuilding other ones. And the same is true for many other places in the U.S. and around the world. So most of you, probably 100% of you, have seen a cement mixer work and what it is, and believe me, I'm no contractor. You do not want me to come to your house or business and play contractor. Let's just put it that way. I'm tempted. I don't want to go into this story, but I'll just give you a little hint. It had to do with lights outside of the house, okay? And I forgot what the problem was. The problem was the lights didn't work. And it was we had a contractor or something, and it was just, you know, in my opinion, a very simple job to fix. You just take the wires, make sure they're connected to the light bulb, and then trace the wires into the main power source. Now, those of you that are in construction and contractors are probably laughing because you you know what comes next with somebody who doesn't know what they're doing. So I don't need to tell you. I don't know why. I mean, because I grew up, you know, doing stuff like that. I mean, you know, I mean, I wasn't a contractor or the son of a contractor, but connecting wires and lights and stuff, I was doing that all the time. So I figured this is no big deal. Well, I don't know what happened. Let's just put it that way. But the next thing I know, there's a burst of light, a loud noise, which was some box short circuiting. All the lights in the house and outside of the house go on, and then poof, they're out. And there's the smell of smoke. And I don't need to tell you the rest of the story, but the rest of the story is you should know what you're doing before you play contractor or construction or electrician or whatever. Because it may look easy, and to some people it is easy, but for people like me, it's not easy. Okay, so I want to talk about the explosive truth. When something is stuck or frozen, and don't ask me why I was thinking of contracting, because I was tapping into a bunch of flashbacks when we purchased a house and all the stuff we had to have done with the house, like laying cement driveways and laying a patio and all the other stuff. So I was watching, nothing new. I was watching the cement trucks pull up to my house. And as you know, cement trucks have this, I don't know how you describe it. They look like they're super pregnant. Okay. They have where they keep the cement in, and it's always rotating this pregnant part of the, I can't think of a better adjective. But this pregnant part of the cement mixer has to revolve because otherwise it'll get stuck in one place, and after a certain amount of time, the cement will no longer be like molten. It will harden, and it doesn't take long. It eventually it hardens to a point where you can't do anything with it, and then it becomes like rock, like pavement, like a street. Now, for those of you that are not into cement mixers, which I'm not particularly into, there's always the chocolate chip cookie analogy. And so you make chocolate chip cookies, and today you basically buy a box of chocolate chip cookie mix. And I forgot what you do. You throw in an egg or some milk or water or whatever. I forgot precisely the instructions. But you all know what happens. You have to set the oven when you're baking chocolate chip cookies at a particular degrees of temperature, and you have to make sure you don't undercook the chocolate chip cookie unless you like them like that. But you got to really be careful that you don't overcook the chocolate chip cookie, because then it gets like the cement. It gets rock solid hard, and then you'll start to smell it burn. So, bad analogy, I know, but I can't think of anything better. So I gave you the best I had in that area. You take your choice, chocolate chip cookie baking or cement mixing. Okay, so the same thing applies to the brain. Now, I know you're thinking, well, gee, that's a stretch. Yeah, it is a stretch. But sometimes, you know, when you're stretching, no pun intended, when you're stretching for a metaphor or an analogy, guess what? You make do with what you have. And since I didn't have a particular analogy, you know, front and center, I had to grab one from the air. So that's what you got. Freshly baked from the invisible realm. Okay, so, like I told you all my life, and I don't want it to sound like I'm super spiritual. That's not the point. I'll bet you anything that the same thing goes on in your life. The only difference is you may not recognize it. You may not have trained yourself to be sensitive to its working in your life. You know, I believe this, what I'm going to talk to you about, happens in a lot of people's lives. But if you're not trained, if you don't train yourself to be sensitive to it, you'll miss it. And what I'm talking about is God will often speak to us in his still small voice. That doesn't mean you hear a voice in your head, Joe, go down to, you know, I'm not talking about some big theatrical Broadway production. I'm talking about most often, and most people don't know how to distinguish the difference or discern the difference, and therefore when they communicate it to others, it sounds outrageous. But most of the time when people are saying the Lord spoke to them, if you really analyze it and you really ask them probing questions, I would say, oh, the vast majority of the time, they didn't hear some booming voice. They didn't even hear an audible voice. I hear people all the time saying, God spoke to me in an audible voice. Well, I'm not going to argue, you know, with you. I'm not going to. That's holy ground. I'm not going to intrude in your relationship with the Lord. But most of the time when you ask people questions, probing questions, you find out that what they call an audible voice was really the voice of their inner spirit man or their inner imagination. That I have found, and I don't claim to be the world's greatest expert on this, but I have found that the overwhelming majority of the time when we hear the still small voice of the Lord, it's not an audible voice. It's not a booming voice. It's the Lord speaking to us. And we recognize that it's the Lord. If we've trained ourselves to pay attention to it, when God speaks to us, we immediately recognize, hey, wait a minute, there's a difference between what was just spoken to me. There's a difference between that and my inner imagination. And so as you progress in your relationship with the Lord, you have to cooperate with the Lord. And you know what? That means you're going to make mistakes. So you can't be afraid of making mistakes or you'll never grow. It's like learning a sport or whatever. So the critical thing here is that you learn to detect the difference between the voice of your imagination and those times when the voice of your imagination appears to be inspired. Okay, so we're talking about two different voices that in many respects could be very similar. And so most people mix up what the two different voices are. On one hand, we have people who are hearing the voice of their own human imagination. And guess what? That voice of their human imagination can often be inspired by the Holy Spirit. So you have the following scenario develop. You hear the voice of your imagination telling you something, an idea, something out of the blue, okay? You hear the voice of your imagination telling you something. But at the same time, there are those times when you hear the voice of your imagination tell you something, but in this other case, you can sense that there's a difference between merely the voice of your imagination and the voice of your imagination when it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? It can be a subtle difference, but it's a profound difference. And when you train yourself to be able, nobody does it perfectly, by the way, nobody. I don't care how spiritual you think they are. Nobody does it perfectly. It's just there's a lot of people who don't have the humility to admit when they're wrong. So the voice of your imagination, in contrast with the voice of your imagination when it is inspired by God, and it's a subtle but profound difference. Okay, so I try to be very specific about this. So all of my life, I have heard the voice of my own human imagination, just like you have, whether you know it or not, giving me ideas, giving me solutions, and on and on. And some people have this ability in stronger ways than other ways. And no, just because your own imagination speaks to you or your intuition speaks to you doesn't mean you're, quote, in the New Age movement. I mean, get over it. It's a part of living. It's a part of how God created you to work. So all my life, I've heard the voice of my inner imagination giving me solutions, et cetera, and guidance. But then after I was saved, and even before I was saved, I began to notice that in addition to merely the voice of my own human imagination, I began to hear what I would call or describe as the voice of my human imagination, but it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So there's a difference. There's one which is just the voice of my human imagination, and then there's the other, which is the voice of my human imagination inspired by the Holy Spirit. Okay, and that's where you begin to enter into things like the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and so on and so forth. And so much of the theological infighting you see going on in the body of Christ and in the Christian church is not really over what people think the fight is over. What the disagreements are about have more to do with giving a proper definition to what's happening in terms of an experience. What do you call it? How do you label that? Some people are very, you know, loose with their language. Okay, now, so ever since I've been saved, the Lord has spoken to me, and I don't like to use those words glibly. And I would say the overwhelming amount of time when I say the Lord has spoken to me, I'm not talking about in an audible voice, okay? I don't speed, I mean, I could make a cute metaphor if I wanted to, but it would do you a disservice. I don't speed dial God on my cell phone, and he doesn't speed dial me, okay? It's a walk of faith. And let none of us forget the basic principle. Every single one of us, myself included, we are all fallen human beings. Fallen means, as you know, we are imperfect beings because we are all born into this world with a sin nature, a fallen nature, if we were created by God to begin with. Now, you can't have let me just add this. You cannot have a fallen nature or a sin nature if you were never an authentic human being to begin with. This is really important. Demons, Satan, Lucifer, the fallen angels, the principalities and powers, and all these demonic and evil spirits, guess what? They don't have a fallen nature or a sinful nature. That's really important to grasp. Why? Because there's no good in them at all. They're totally evil. Now, that bothers a lot of people, but guess what? I'm going to give you an old New York City expression from the streets of Jackson Heights, Queens. If you don't like the biblical truth that I just shared with you, and it is the truth, and it bugs you and irritates you, and you think I'm presenting an unkind version of God, my response to you from Jackson Heights, Queens, quite simply is tough noogies. Tough noogies. And those of you from the East Coast know exactly what I'm saying. Tough noogies. I'm not going to apologize for it. Tough noogies means it is what it is, baby, so learn to live with it. We're not going to bend the truth to tickle your fancy. Okay? We all have to understand, myself included, that we are in an all-out warfare with principalities and powers, etc., that are completely fallen. They are beyond a fallen nature. They are totally corrupt. They are totally evil. And the proof of it is that they can never be saved. They can never be forgiven of their sins. They can never receive salvation. They can never enter heaven, ever. And when the day of judgment comes, every being in the invisible realm and the visible realm that is not saved will be sentenced to the lake of fire or hell for all eternity. And that's a place, according to the Bible, of eternal agony, everlasting agony. So we really have to come to grips with the fact that Lucifer, the fallen angels, the spirits and demons, etc., all of these entities that are pure evil cannot be saved. And they have already been sentenced to hell. It's just, when does God choose to send them into the lake of fire for all eternity? And that is up to God. So we have to come to grips with that. And it's important in our day, because now we have the transhumanists they're playing the same old game. They're not even original. The transhumanists are not original. They're like a repeat of a bad TV show or a bad movie. How many of you have seen it? I don't watch it, but I have seen it on television. Endless reruns of various Batman movies and Batman TV shows. That as the years go by, despite the increase in budgets, they get worse and worse and worse. They're just horrible to watch. So Satan is like that. He's not original. He's a counterfeiter. Satan has not been given the ability by God, the true God, to be a true, authentic, original creator of anything. Satan and his followers do not have the capacity to be creators or to be creative. All they can do is imitate or mirror. Now, they can do it in a very clever way, so it almost looks like they are being creative. But the fact of the matter is, they're not being creative. They're simply imitating. So what we have to understand is that only human beings created in the image of God, who have the DNA or the genetic code of God, are what we call authentic human beings, and only authentic genetic human beings can enter heaven, can receive forgiveness of sins and eternal salvation by faith. Only human beings that are 100% genetically human have the opportunity to be saved. All the other beings created by the transhumanists and the odd mixtures and the hybrid intermingling of the species between fallen angels and human women and stuff, those entities, those demons, those fallen angels cannot be saved ever. So there's a difference between human beings that are authentically human, that have a fallen human nature, but even though they have a fallen human nature, and even though they were born with a sinful human nature, they have the option, they have the capacity, if they choose to receive forgiveness of their sins through the blood of Jesus Christ by faith. They have the opportunity of inviting Jesus Christ into their heart to become born again and to become new creatures in Christ Jesus. And finally, they have the opportunity to live in heaven for all eternity with God and the angels and all those that are born again. Even though they were born with a fallen nature, that fallen nature has the potential of being redeemable. Conversely, the demons, the fallen angels, Lucifer, etc., all those who have received the mark of the beast, and this is a warning, they are beyond redemption. They're not in the category of having a fallen nature or in the category of having a sinful nature. That they're way beyond that. They are completely corrupt and they cannot be uncorrupted. And their only destiny is eternal damnation. And that may be a tough truth, but that's the way it is. Okay, so right now we have a power grab going on planet Earth. Lucifer, who, by the way, in many respects, appears to be very creative, very innovative, very intelligent, as well as his followers. But remember, their intelligence, their creativity, both Satan and his followers, human and fallen angels, they are corrupted beings. They're totally evil. So what it appears that they're creating, they're really not creating anything. They are counterfeiting. They are imitating. They are copying. Satan lusts to be God. And every fiber of Satan's being, along with all the one-third of the angels that are in rebellion against God with Satan and all those who are going to or have accepted the mark of the beast, all of those people and all of those fallen angels are totally corrupted. And the only thing they can do is produce counterfeits. The only thing, look at what Lucifer does. Whether it's art or film or literature or societies or whatever, everything that Lucifer and the fallen angels do, along with the human beings that are following them, everything that Lucifer's crowd does is nothing more than a counterfeit of what God has already done. So Lucifer wants to be God. He is not God. So he's trying to deceive the world through the aid of the Antichrist. He's trying to deceive the world into worshiping him as God, as this new world order, now called the Great Reset, is being born right now before our very eyes. Right now before our very eyes, there is the greatest copyright theft in the history of civilization. Satan, Lucifer's crowd, the fallen angels, the demons, Lucifer, the artificial human beings and the synthetic human beings created by the transhumanists and their transhumanist technology. What they're doing is nothing more than a counterfeit or a synthetic or an imitation or a virtual copy of a person or an animal or a world, because Satan desires to be God, and Satan's lust that keeps him awake at night is he desires to be worshipped as if he is God. That's what Satan's game. You want to get right down to it? If you're going to analyze Satan's strategy, it's very simple. Satan's strategy is all about him doing whatever it takes in order for him to sit on the throne room of God and to act as if he is God. And then Satan wants to be worshipped by mankind. Satan wants to be worshipped by mankind and all creation. Satan wants to be worshipped as if he is or was God. That was not a good thing to drop on the studio floor. I'm afraid to look down because of whatever it was. It sounded expensive and it sounded heavy. Okay, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire. Okay, so Satan, he is in an all-out war to become God and to be worshipped as God. But that can never happen because there's a little thing that gets in Satan's way. And that little thing is called the truth. The truth is that which is true, whether or not people choose to believe it's true or not. This is an important principle. In order for the truth to be true, it doesn't need a large amount of voters. It doesn't need the majority of people to vote one way or the other. That which is true entirely independent of whether or not the majority of people believe it, or the majority of people even agree with it. One thing among many that our educational system, our media, our news media, our society, our culture has been indoctrinating and brainwashing and using mind control techniques for many decades, and they have used scientific mind control and brainwashing to eradicate and to erase from the minds of children and adults, they have erased any concept of what Dr. Francis Schaeffer used to refer to as true truth or final reality. So what that means is they have brainwashed people to believe that there is no such thing as an objective truth or an absolute truth, that all truth is relative, which means truth can change from day to day, or truth can change depending upon what the majority of the population believes. Those are lies. Those are deceptions. We have to remember that Satan is an imitator, a counterfeiter. Satan and Lucifer and the fallen angels, they are not truth. They are not representatives of the truth. They are falsehoods. They are counterfeits. They are delusions, illusions. Satan is a deceiver. This is very important to grasp, because these are the fundamental truths of the Bible that have been stolen from and robbed from the minds and hearts of billions of children and adults alive on planet Earth. And because the truth has been robbed from people's minds, the fallout of those consequences is that every sector, every factor of our society has been encroached upon, has been infiltrated, has been perverted, has been twisted, has been maligned, has been disfigured in ways that are innumerable to count and staggering in their deceptive comprehension. We have to understand that there has been a murderous, all-out assault from hell and Lucifer and the demons and the fallen angels and those men that choose to follow the fallen angels. There has been a long-term, all-out assault against the minds and the hearts and the beliefs and the ideas and the philosophies and the sciences and the technologies have all been under massive assault for centuries. And the assault has been so egregious and so continual that the average person has no comprehension whatsoever just how far, deep, and wide they have been captured and assaulted by the truth that has been stolen by the devil from their hearts and minds. When you set about, I call it the great heist, when you set about to steal
using brute force, not facts, not the truth, not love, but when you use brute force to steal the truth and that which is true from the hearts and the minds and the children of the people of planet Earth, you inflict insufferable harm upon them. You pervert, you twist, you destroy, you harm people. Christians have a very, look, I'm going to shoot from you. You know, today I've changed my mind in the middle of the program. I always try to shoot straight with you, okay? But today I think I'm going to let it rip and let the chips fall where they may fall, okay? So be prepared. I'm not here to play games. I'm not a politician. I'm not running for office. I'm a messenger of the Word of God, and I'm called to speak the truth. So I'm going to let it rip for a little bit, and you need to hear it, and you need to spread this message far and wide, and you need to use your persuasive abilities to make sure it doesn't get rigged or blocked from the internet, and you need to use your persuasive abilities to get people who need to hear it to hear parts of it or all of it. Remember this, that when the truth gets in you, it doesn't always appear that it got in people. But let me tell you something, when the truth gets in people, it does massive changes for the positive, for the good, that are irreversible. The truth is, there's nothing more powerful than the truth. So I'm going to let it rip based on telling you the truth and not holding back. Right now in America, we do not have, for the most part, an authentic, biblical, Christian church in the true, authentic, biblical, historical meaning of the word Christian church as it was first presented to the world by Jesus Christ and the apostles when Christ ministered on the earth and performed signs and wonders and resurrected from the dead. And then Jesus told his disciples to go to Jerusalem and to tarry in Jerusalem or wait on the Father, pray to the Father until the Father sends them power from on high or clothes them with power from on high, which means the dunamis, explosive dynamite power of God. So the church, let's start with fact one. I don't care whether you like it or not. This is what the Bible says. You want to challenge me, fine. But stand and deliver on the scripture verses. The church was born when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost occurred. And it shook not only Jerusalem, it shook the world. And the power of God was released upon men and women, the dunamis dynamite power of God. And when the power of God was poured out upon the early disciples, it set them on fire with the dunamis dynamite power of God and supernaturally enabled them and supernaturally equipped them to preach the gospel all over the world. And that preaching of the gospel has never stopped up until the very current moment. The church in America, over the last 60 to 70 years especially, has gone into a serious degradation so that it no longer represents the kind of church that the apostles preached about, that Paul preached about, that Jesus Christ preached about. The contemporary modern evangelical church is no longer, to a large degree, with some exceptions, it is no longer to a large degree built on the foundation of the Word of God. It is built on the foundation of all kinds of New Age ideas, occultic ideas, Gnostic ideas, secular humanist ideas, transhumanist ideas. It's built on a counterfeit foundation. And as such, the contemporary evangelical church is largely absent of the truth. The direct result of having a church which is largely absent of the truth, which means largely absent of the Word of God and rightly dividing the Word of God, the direct consequence of that is this. That church which is devoid of the authentic power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that church, which to a large degree is the American church, not completely, but largely, and a biblical model of what that church is the Laodicean church written in the book of Revelation. So this church in America is largely powerless. And that is the reason we see the armies of hell, the demons, Lucifer, the release, the uninhibited, unrestrained release of Luciferian technology invented and created by the great counterfeiters, the transhumanists. The reason that the humanists have succeeded and the transhumanists have succeeded momentarily, the reason that the globalist elite has succeeded momentarily in terms of their acquisition of, they own 99% of the wealth on planet Earth. That was never the will of God. The reason the secular humanist, communist, Marxist, transhumanist dogma or doctrine keeps spreading unhindered in America is because of the powerlessness of the church. And so because of the powerlessness of the church, there is a spiritual pandemic which is causing the spread of a spiritual virus known as transhumanism and humanism and other ideological spiritual counterfeits. And that is spreading and taking over the earth. And what is causing it to spread is the fact that the transhumanists, the globalist elite, those behind the New World Order, control all the wealth and the power. They control the institutions of education and thinking and media and many other things. Even though they only represent an itsy-bitsy 1% of the population of planet Earth, even though they represent only 1% of the population of planet Earth, but they also, even though they're 1% of the population of planet Earth, they also control 99% of all the wealth and power and land and technology and science and armies and everything else. They control 99% of all the wealth and all the money and all the assets, again, even though they represent only 1% of the population of planet Earth. So how did this happen? How could this possibly happen? We analyze it, and we can very quickly come up with the answer as to why this has happened. First of all, anyone who says this is the will of God is a theological psychotic and out of their minds. God knew this was coming. That's for sure. But this was never the perfect will of God. This is the byproduct of those people who claim to be believers in Jesus Christ, those people who claim to be Christians. The fact of the matter is that despite their claims to be Christians, they have, this group of people that claims to be Christians, have for the last number of centuries, in fact, for under 2,000 years, approximately 2,000 years, the church was born with power, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, signs and wonders, and it was an unconquerable force winning souls for Jesus Christ. That was in the beginning with the apostles and Jesus Christ. Now, for many centuries, the so-called Church of Jesus Christ is in a degradation mode, and it is in a mode of collapse, a mode of theologically and philosophically and culturally, it's in a mode of what's called retreatism. Retreatism simply means instead of advancing into the culture triumphantly with the light of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, it has chosen to reject what God's Word is really saying authoritatively. I mispronounced that, forgive me. It has rejected the Word of God. And that constitutes, it's very important that we're all on the same page here. I've devoted my life to spreading this message because I believe I'm not a fatalist, you know. Those of you that know me know that I've never been a fatalist, nor am I some crazy, wild-eyed idealist. But I'm not a fatalist. There appears to be a free fall into the abyss by the contemporary church as the armies of darkness march into city after city, nation after nation, raping, stealing, killing, corrupting, stealing souls, addicting, sex trafficking, and everything else, drug trades and everything else, horrific things. And it appears that there's no end in sight. And so in this environment, people are tempted to become fatalistic. But you are making a big mistake, my friend, when you bite the proverbial apple and choose to, in a non-biblical modality, when you choose to become fatalistic instead of Bible-based idealistic, you make a big mistake. And here's why. I told you I'm going to let it rip. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is the only being, the supreme being, that is legally entitled to sit on the throne room of God in heaven and rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jesus Christ is, within relatively soon proximity, he's going to return to planet Earth along with the armies of heaven. And he's going to control and rule and reign planet Earth from Jerusalem. That is on the horizon. When, I can't tell you, but it's on the horizon. Now, it may appear for a brief flash of time, it may appear for a brief moment, that Satan is winning, that the demons are winning, that the Luciferians and the transhumanists are winning. It may appear for a brief season in time that the devil and the demons and the fallen human beings are momentarily winning the great spiritual battle of the ages. But that's a lie. And we need to remember something. Satan is the father of lies. So Satan's entire counterfeit kingdom, Satan's hierarchical army, Satan's stealing of wealth, stealing of men's minds and hearts, all of the activities of Satan, including his desire to be God, all of the activity plans and battlefield plans of Satan are built on a series of lies. They cannot come true, no matter how much money he spends and how well he thinks they're conceived, his evil plans. He will never, listen to me, Satan and the demons and the fallen angels and all those men and women who are following Satan, they will never, ever be victorious. Their fate is sealed. And their fate, which is sealed, is the fact that it's sealed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And their fate, which is sealed, is the fate that God has determined they are going to spend all eternity in the lake of fire and hell. They will be quadranted off from those that are saved. They will be placed in God's great supermax cosmic spiritual prison, and they will be locked up for all eternity. Because here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, no matter how many viruses they invent, how many pandemics they invent, no matter how deeply they indoctrinate our children into believing that we're the descendants of animals and random chance evolution, no matter how much garbage they pump into the minds of young children and adults, no matter how many trillions of dollars they steal, no matter how massive are the armies they put together, no matter how terrifying their weaponry in terms of subliminal sound weapons and nuclear weapons and biological weapons and weather modification weapons and futuristic weapons of all kinds, no matter how large their
demonic armies are of Satan, no matter how large the demonic armies are, no matter how many people are wiped out and killed by the Luciferian hordes coming together at Armageddon in the last days, no matter how ferocious and terrifying the battle may be, I want you to stop for a moment, and I want you to pause for a moment and contemplate the words that I'm going to say to you. Contemplate them in light of the fact that you already know the truth of the words that I'm about to speak to you. You already know the truth of these words. All I'm doing is asking that you pause for a moment and contemplate on a deeper level the meaning of the words I'm about to speak to you. And these are the words that I'm about to speak to you under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because when you speak the truth of God's word and you are in agreement with God's word, there's only one way that can happen. You are being energized to speak the truth from the word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is the word of God. And the truth I'm speaking to you, therefore, must be anointed by the Spirit of God and must be breathed on by the Spirit of God. Now, hear me when I say, hear the word of the Lord. Because that's what I'm saying to you. I'm saying, hear the word of the Lord. No matter how intense the battle gets, no matter how much the demonic armies rage and the evil ones strut to and fro across the earth with their lies and their pollution and their corruption, no matter how cancerous and explosive that growth appears to be, listen to me, please. God Almighty, Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God Almighty has walked upon the earth, and God Almighty has drawn a distinct line in the sands of time. Hear me now. God Almighty has drawn a distinct line on the sands of time. And when God Almighty drew, and it remains in place, a distinct line in the sands of time, Jesus proclaimed the truth, which is that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there is no other God besides him. There is only one God, the Supreme Being, Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth, drew a line in the earth. He drew a line in the sands of time. And he said to Satan, the fallen angels, the demons, the human armies that are in rebellion from him, those that will receive the mark of the beast, and all the technology and the sciences of hell that are being arrayed to wage war against Christ at his second coming, where Satan is going to attempt to challenge the line that Jesus drew in the sand, in the sands of time. Jesus Christ drew a line and spoke to the devil, the principalities and powers and mankind and everything that lives and exists and everything that will become. Jesus Christ said these words, that you cannot go any further, that he put boundaries in place in the earth, just like he put boundaries in place in the heavens, in the stars, in the solar system, in the sun. God has put boundaries in his creation to signify the fact that it is he, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who determines how far the tides can come in and how far the tides can go out, because he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And God drew a line in the sands of time and spoke to all of creation, the demonic and the angelic, mankind and the demons. And God has decreed that the line that he drew in the sands of time cannot be removed by mankind, Lucifer, or the fallen angels, that the line is irrevocable. And the representation of the irrevocable line of God is represented in the biblical account of when God makes an everlasting covenant or an everlasting contract between the physical descendants of Abraham, and God and his armies. God quadranted off, like a real estate deed, the entire physical land of Israel was given to the physical descendants of Abraham, and it is an everlasting covenant, which means God gave the Jews the physical land of Israel as an everlasting covenant. It is not contingent on their behavior or their holiness any more than your salvation is contingent on your behavior or holiness. God chose the spiritual Jewish people by his divine plan. He gave them the physical land of Israel, and he gave them the title deed of the physical land of Israel as an everlasting covenant, which means that from the time he made the covenant, which was between him and Abraham and the physical descendants of Abraham, from that time moving forward right now into our time and to beyond our time, God made a divine contract or an everlasting covenant with the children of Israel, and they have been given the physical land of Israel as an everlasting covenant between God and the physical descendants of Israel, as a sign of the fact that he is God and he can give that land to whoever he chooses. And Christians forget, and others forget, that this is not a voting contest. This is not, you don't get the land because of merit or because you were a good boy or a good girl. God is fully aware of the sins of Israel, just like God is fully aware of the sins of America. Don't think for a moment that God does not see the sins of America and the sins of Israel, because he does. And there are a lot of horrific and questionable things going on in Israel in relationship to other nations right now that are very disturbing to a lot of people. But if you think that the Jews lose their right to the physical land of Israel because of sins that they commit or may have committed and did commit, if you think the Jews lose their right to the physical land of Israel, you don't understand a thing about the Bible and the fact that the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is an everlasting covenant. That means God entered into an everlasting. An everlasting means exactly what it says at face value. Everlasting means without end. Everlasting. God gave the Jews the physical land of Israel, including Jerusalem, as an everlasting covenant. It is theirs forever. It is theirs without end. It is not theirs, listen carefully, it is not theirs because they deserve it. It is not there because they're more holy than anybody else. God is fully aware, again, of the sins and the atrocities and the abominations of Israel, just like he's fully aware of the atrocities, the abominations, and the sins of America and other nations. But God, in his divine favor and the covenant that God made between the Pilgrims and Puritans, who were imitating the covenant God made with the Jews, God made a covenant with the Pilgrims and Puritans, which is an everlasting covenant. And so the blessing of God and the hand of God's favor is still on America, listen to me, despite the fact that America has largely become wicked, corrupt, immoral, godless, sinful, and despite the fact, listen to me carefully, despite the fact that God is fully aware that America right now is worthy, listen to me, America right now, and especially the church, hear me now, especially the church is worthy of the outpouring of God's wrath and the outpouring of God's judgment upon America, its institutions, its people, and its church. Did you hear what I said? America deserves, right now, America deserves the judgment of God. Our sins have piled on high into heaven. And America, the soul of America, stinks to high heaven. God is protecting America temporarily for however how long he chooses, completely based on grace, unmerited favor, the same way you were saved by grace, unmerited favor. And God's hand of blessing and forgiveness and protection is protecting America despite the fact that America is fully worthy of the wrath of God and the judgment of God. God is supernaturally protecting America from everything that America truly deserves. Do you know what America truly deserves? When somebody has been given an unusual amount of blessing and favor and wisdom and the knowledge of God, and then spits on God and tramples on God and breaks the laws of God egregiously, as many of us, all of us have done to one degree or another, and America has done, we are well deserved of the punishment, the wrath, and judgment of God. America is bursting with sex trafficking and the raping and perversion upon little children. Our sins are endless. Our illicit invasions, our things that we have sowed into the earth are, in the eyes of God, abominations. And we deserve judgment for those abominations. And God is aware of it. But ask yourself why our economy has not collapsed completely, because it deserves to. Ask yourselves why there has not been a disease outbreak that has no limits on it and will swallow up a billion Americans. Ask yourself why America still exists despite its abominations, despite its atrocities, despite its collective sins. Ask yourself why America is still standing as a nation despite the fact that it deserves the wrath of God and the judgment of God. And the answer is because God knows, if you read his word, that the fact that America is still standing, and the fact that God still wants to use America, and the fact that God has plans for a biblical revival in America. Yes, I'm fully aware of the fact that deception, apostasy, false doctrine, false prophets are abounding in America. But that does not erase the everlasting covenant that God made with America. America is standing because of the grace of God and the pleasure of God and because of the will of God, period. Because God still has a future plan, even in these dark hours, God still has a future plan for you, your children, and America, despite what the devil says. Because our sins are washed in the blood of Jesus. In the same way, Israel is the divine recipient of an everlasting covenant with God that began between Abraham and the physical descendants of Abraham. And yes, I know Israel is one of the biggest nations of prostitution and sex trafficking and all kinds of crimes. But all of the crimes and moral and immorality and idolatry that both America and Israel are guilty of, and they are certainly guilty of it, does not warrant the release of the full judgment of God and the wrath of God on either America or Israel. It doesn't mean that God is blinking and winking and looking the other way. I'm not saying that. As you sow, so shall you reap. There will be a day of reckoning. Beware, I'm warning you. There will be a day of reckoning. America will one day shake under this day of reckoning. But for now, we're in this momentary zone where the grace of God triumphs over the law of God. Did you hear what I said? You were, never forget you were not saved because you were a good boy or a good girl. And if you're so deluded to think that your salvation is contingent on your goodness, may the Lord have mercy on you. Your salvation is contingent completely on the fact that you put your faith in Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you of all sin. The church in America is a harlot church. I know that, and you know that, and we weep together night and day over the harlotry of the church and Christians, and yes, even to whatever degree, even our own selves. Harlotry comes in many, many different forms. But the worst harlotry is spiritual harlotry, which the church in America, well, I told you I'm going to let it rip. You need to hear it. You need to hear it. You need to own it. The church in America
has been fornicating with the great harlot or the great whore, Mystery Babylon, for a long, long time. You walk around Washington, D.C., you visit our institutions of power, the symbols are shouting in your face. Just look at the symbols, the statues, the monuments, and ask yourself, we wrote about it in our book, The Babylon Code, I wrote with Troy Henderson and my other books. We explain it all to you. Those symbols mean something. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what a phallic symbol is and a womb symbol is. Even today, a third grader could tell you that in school. So what is holding back the wrath of God and the judgment of God is not our good deeds. Because even now, as we speak, the church, the leadership of the church in America, the many of the, not all of the leadership, not, I'm not talking about everybody, I'm not talking about all, but a large percentage of the leadership, a large percentage of ministries, a large percentage of Christian schools, etc., are fornicating with the great harlot, Mystery Babylon. And that's what all those symbols mean, and those secret societies secretly mean. And what they do in secret is horrific, and it's an abomination before God. But once again, at least for now, and don't abuse the grace of God, at least for now, at least for this season, hear me now, the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God, triumphs over our wickedness and our sins, even in the church. How long that will continue, that's between God. That's between God. But God has placed his hand of protection, the blood of Jesus Christ on the church, on Christians in America, and those spiritual Jews in Israel, and other nations, which even though they may be filled with rampant sin, there's a remnant attempting to do righteousness. God is looking for that remnant. Now, that's the purpose of Paul McGuire Ministries, Paradise Mountain Church, and everything I do. This is the burning torch, the burning message the Lord's given me to spread to the church in America and into the world. And I don't have, I would be a lie to tell you that I don't have my momentary doubts, because I do have my momentary doubts. I'm human. But God has given me the supernatural faith to believe him, that he will open the doors, he will supply the funds, he will send his angelic armies to make it possible for me and this ministry to continue to go all across the United States, all across the world, all across the church, and present the burning torch of truth that I just shared with you. On the cover of my book, which you need to read. I'm not begging you to read it. You don't have to read it. If you don't read it, you're going to be deficit important truth. That's not manipulation. It's simply the truth. The book is an explosive, powerful book. The most powerful book I've ever written is Power from On High. But that doesn't mean it's a really little easy book. You want a little cute and fuzzy book? Go buy a cute and fuzzy book. I don't write cute and fuzzy books. God called me to a prophetic ministry, so I have to speak prophetically. I didn't get called by God to speak cute and fuzzy messages and write cute and fuzzy books. I was called to wield the double-edged sword of truth, which is the Word of God. And that's what you'll see and read when you read my books like The Greatest Battle and Power from On High and A Prophecy of the Future of America. What will happen to you when you read those books is you will be cut by the double-edged sword of truth contained in the pages of those books. And cut not for the purpose of hurt or harm, but cut for the purpose of healing and redemption. So, God has called me. I haven't shared everything that's been going on with me and this ministry. And I probably won't publicly. The level of attacks, the attempts on my life, especially with the use of technology that some of you people don't even believe in, but that's your problem because you should read. But I stand here before you by the grace of God. I stand here before you by the unmerited favor of God.
And in my imperfectness as a human being, I stand before you because of the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and the word of my testimony, just like you do. Just like you do now. And that's why you continue to listen to the Paul McGuire Report. You listen to the program. You obey God. You support the program financially with your gifts and contributions. You choose to be a prayer warrior for me, my family, and all those involved in this ministry. You choose to help me fight the rigging war. You choose to help me fight the wars on the internet so you open up channels for us to proclaim our message. You're doing those things because when you listen to this program, the Lord speaks to you many times and you know it's the Lord. You sense in your inner man or inner woman the power of God fill your inner being. So if you want proof as to the authenticity of any ministry, including Paul McGuire Ministries, Paradise Mountain Church, I challenge you to ask yourself this question. As I'm ministering to you now, as I'm speaking to you now, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, by the way, and I'm not ashamed to say it, because if I didn't say it, I'd be lying. As I'm speaking to you, and many of you are all over the world, you are being ministered to, not by me, you're being ministered to by the supernatural power of God that is operating in your inner man, in your inner heart, in your inner mind right now, purely by the grace, the unmerited favor of God. The proof of the authenticity of this ministry and what we're doing is the fact that right now, as I'm speaking to you, you are spiritually sensing the quickening of the Holy Spirit in your inner man and woman. You authentically know that there's more to this than me just talking, and that me just talking is really a very minor part of this ministry. What makes this ministry happen, why people accept the Lord Jesus Christ, why lives are changed through this ministry, why hard-hearted men and women change their direction in the church after being confronted with the hard truth that we preach, is because you sense authentically, you know it in your bone marrow authentically. Right now you sense the Spirit of God flowing into you from this program, from my words. You sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You sense the infusion of the Holy Spirit. You sense the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And as I'm talking to you, you sense an authentic, supernatural move of the supernatural power of God that is breaking yokes in your life on multiple levels. It's not your imagination. You are experiencing an authentic demonstration of the power of Almighty God in response to endless hours of intercessory prayer, of which I thank you for. This is Paul McGuire. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. We'll be back in just a moment. This is the Paul McGuire Report, and again, I'm Paul McGuire. So what you're sensing, you know to be biblically authentic, true, biblically right on, of sound doctrine, and the Holy Spirit in you can properly receive this message in truth because it's flowing from the Spirit of truth. And what I'm saying to you has nothing to do with any specialness or uniqueness on my part. It's evidence of the fact that there's an authentic biblical call of God on this ministry and on my life and on your life. And that's why we come together via this program. But I want to expand that coming together. We have been, I'm not going to get into a big song and dance of the nature of the spiritual warfare, but hell itself in the last 3 months has been waging war against us in myriad ways. And that's all I'm going to say. If you are being brought into oneness with this ministry and our message, if it resonates with you as true truth, because it is true truth, it's built on the Word of God, then I know that in this audience, there is an elect, a remnant of people who are regularly being ministered to and regularly being touched by the power and the Spirit of God. I know that in my spirit, and you know that because it's happening to you. It happens to you often. But you know that the Lord is allowing you to discern that because the Lord wants to confirm to you through the legitimate biblical move of God happening through this program. The Lord is confirming to you, because you need to have things confirmed, just like I do. The Lord is confirming to you the legitimacy, the authenticity, the validity, the truthfulness, and the fact that when I say that this is a representation of the divine call of God, you know it's not just a bunch of hot air, that I'm speaking the truth and my conscience is clean. So I come to you as your brother and servant in Jesus Christ, and I ask you to ask the Lord how you can partner with us, partner with me, in expanding our outreach, maintaining our outreach, and boldly come to the Lord and ask him what you can give financially with contributions, donations. And then I challenge you to do something that I have grown in doing in the years, okay? By grown in doing, I mean that as I began to obey the Lord in this area, I began to increase my giving. And if you knew the proportion of my income that I give to this ministry, the percentage of my income that I give to this ministry, which I'm not going to share with you because I don't want to be guilty of bragging. But I'm not asking you to do something that I'm not doing. A very, very large percentage of my income goes back into this ministry. And that's all you need to know. You can guess what the percentage is. It's not a small percentage. Because as I told somebody the other day, this has never been about the money for me, and it never will be. It's almost like I've been cut with the knife of the sword of the Lord. And in my heart, I know that I'm here for a season, and my job is to be faithful for that season. And I want to hear the words from Jesus like you do, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So I ask you, as the Lord talks to you, and if you have nothing to give, then I'm not here to place a guilt of yoke on guilt on you. Then be blessed by the program, but help us get us out. You can help in other ways. Some of you, the Lord has blessed in an unusual manner financially. And among other things, this program has played an important part in your life to whatever degree. I'm asking you to ask the Lord what he would have you give or donate or do. And then forget about what the traditional norms of this and that and the other. It doesn't mean a thing to God. Give as God puts it on your heart. If it's a modest amount, then give be obedient to what he tells you to do. But God is speaking to some people like you to give an amount or amounts that may be larger than you've given to anything. Well, in light of the fact that the Lord has been so good to you and the Lord has blessed you so richly, I don't think it's an unreasonable request for the Lord to lovingly ask you to give on a level greater than you've given before ever, and in a big level to endow what we're doing. I don't think it's an outrageous request. If the Lord talks to you in giving in a big way, because you've been blessed in a big way. So you know what I'm trying to say. It's all about what the Lord, if the Lord has blessed you richly, then your level of obligation, if you want to keep growing, if you want to keep increasing your wealth, if you want to keep increasing your wisdom, you've got to keep seeding it, planting it. If you hoard it or just give your money out for to gain favor or whatever, or to buy a table at a fancy dinner. I'm talking about a fundraising dinner. That's fine if that's what the Lord told you to do. I don't have a problem with that. But you give as the Lord is asking you to. Now, one other thing, and then I don't want to talk about my giving, but initially, many, many decades ago when I first started giving, I radically gave. I don't know. You know why I radically gave? Because I was reading the Word of God constantly, and what was ringing in my head, I was acting on. And so it was really, I'll tell you, it was against my human nature to give so radically. Okay? It went against my nature. But I obeyed God anyway because I had a choice. I can obey what the Word of God says, give, and it shall be given unto you, or I can obey what the world system says. And over the years, it's not always easy. I've chosen to give as the Lord would have me give. So I'm exhorting you to do that. Why? Because the bottom line is, the person that will benefit the most from your obedience in these areas is you. you're going to benefit more than anybody, you and your family and your children and your grandchildren, and more importantly, the work of the Lord will benefit, will grow. And then you get to move into the principle that as you plant seeds, whatever it is, loving and praying, and do you know what I'm saying? As you give, it comes back into you. It's the law of reciprocity. And that's all I'm going to say about it, because I trust that every one of you that are being ministered to by the power of God and the love of God and the authentic demonstration of God's reality, because God is confirming in this program and through this program in many different ways, God is confirming the fact that he is behind the program and that he's in the program. You say, how can you be so conceited as to say that? Simply because I'm speaking the truth. If I was telling you lies and deception, I wouldn't dare say it because I'd be afraid of being struck by lightning. I'm serious. If I was sitting up here blabbing and preaching outrageous heresy, I'd be afraid of being struck by lightning. So, anyway, we are in a spiritual battle for America. I believe that if we will pull together and launch out together and obey God together, you and I, it doesn't take a physical majority to win the battle. It takes a righteous minority. The Bible says that over and over and over again. The victory goes not to the person with the biggest army or even the biggest budget. The victory, the battle will be won by a smaller number, by a remnant of faithful people, a smaller percentage of faithful people will always triumph in the spiritual battle and the battles of life. They will always triumph over the adversary in all warfare. Even if they're smaller numerically, they will always win. You will always win. You will always triumph as long as you're on the right side of God and doing what God told you to do. Now, once you stop doing what God told you to do, you're on your own. So that's the encouraging word here. Think of Joshua and Caleb. I read those stories and they explode into life. Read the story of David. Joshua and Caleb, God sent in 10 spies. The 10 spies were like your typical 10 evangelical Christians. All they saw was fear. All they saw was giants in the land. And so they came back, and think about this. They actually had the audacity to go before God and make up excuses for why they couldn't possess the land. And they said, well, we can't possess the land, God. There's giants in the land, and the giants in the land perceive us like grasshoppers. What was God's reaction? Compassion? Love? No. God's reaction was, he was disgusted with them. That was his reaction. Total disgust. Because they were violating the very core of his truthfulness and principles. So then God chooses Joshua and Caleb and tells them, to go in and spy the land of Canaan and give them, give God a report of what's really happening. Joshua and Caleb go in with a totally different mindset. They're not the squeaky clean evangelicals, playing it safe, playing it safe, playing it safe. You heard what I said. Joshua and Caleb went into the land with a mindset of faith. Their foundation for their life was faith in the Word of God, because they believed in the Word of God a long, long time before God ever told them to go into the land of Canaan and spy it out. You're like that. You've seen God work tremendous miracles in your life. So you can relate to that story. So anyway, Joshua and Caleb go into the land and they spy it out. But they go into the land in belief, in God, with God's perception. So what they see, because they have God's perception, not human perception, what they see is different than what the 10 spies saw. What Joshua and Caleb saw, and there were only two of them, Joshua and Caleb saw that these so-called giants that were in the land of Canaan, they looked like, in their eyes, in the mindset of faith eyes of Joshua and Caleb, the giants looked like little dwarfs, little weak dwarfs, pushovers. Joshua and Caleb weren't scared at all. And then Joshua and Caleb noticed that the land was filled with milk and honey. And when they saw the giants, they saw these impotent, weak pushovers. And they came back to the Lord and they said, "We saw these so-called giants," they said to God, "but they're not giants. They're small, insignificant, weak. We can easily take over Canaan. We can easily conquer the land," they said to God. And then they said to God something very remarkable. They said, "And in addition to the fact that these giants are pushovers, these giants," something happened weird, God, "these giants began to see us not like we were small, puny warriors. These giants began to see us as if we were the giants. And we, God, are the giants because of faith." And so this paradigm shift in consciousness and this faith mindset that Joshua and Caleb had, it blessed the Lord. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? And so their actions bless the Lord. And so they said to God, they gave God what was called a good report, a report on, based on faith. And so they said to God, the summary is, they said to God, "We are well able to take the land. We are well able to take the land." It's a piece of cake, God. Why? Why was it a piece of cake? Because they were not looking at it through their puny, fearful human eyes or their fearful human mindset. They were looking at the battle zone through the eyes of faith, through the eyes of God. And see, that is that, that this is not a fairy tale for you and I to get tickled by. This is how you lay hold of God's power and truth, and you turn on the ignition and you turn on the key to the power of God in the real world, in reality. God's word works in reality if you'll work it in reality. It's not a religious game. So your life, your family, and the end game and the outcome of all of those things, and the outcome of America, hear what I'm saying, the outcome of America, will all be determined by whether or not you and I begin to see things through the eyes of faith or the eyes of God. And when we allow God to transform our perception and to transform our vision, all of a sudden, boom, the illusion disintegrates. And we recognize that we are indeed, we are the real giants. This whole time, we've been deluded in a hypnotic trance by the devil, and we've been deluded into believing falsely that we're the weak, puny, helpless ones. But the fact of the matter is, when we allow God to heal our eyes and our vision and our perception, all of a sudden, like a lightning bolt out of the blue, God opens up our eyes and we see for the first time the real facts. And the real facts say, We're the ones that are the real giants. We're the ones with the real power. We're the ones with the real ability to be victorious. And we're the ones that are really the giants and have the power to conquer these imposter giants that are posing. Now, I want to just bear on this for like a minute or two. Once you lay hold of this truth in your life, once if even a remnant of the body of Christ lay holds of this truth in their life, this will allow the supernatural power of God to infuse in your life and radically transform your vision, radically transform your perception, and you will see the world and your life and your so-called struggles in an entirely different mode. And you will see the truth about whether or not that you can win certain battles. You will recognize the illusions, the hypnosis, the spells that have been placed on you will disintegrate as you realize that you have been given and you are far, far more powerful than you have been programmed to believe. You see, the devil and his crowd and the transhumanists, etc., they are masters of illusion and manipulation and mind control. And they've been doing a number on the people of God for centuries. And that's why, to a large degree, much of the church is in captivity in America and around the world. God has stuff to do before he returns. I mean, a lot of Christians seem to have forgotten that. There are millions of souls that God wants to use people like you and me to win to Christ. God wants to turn the tide of the spiritual battle in America radically and beyond your wildest expectation. But it all comes down to, are we going to go into the promised land, the land of Canaan, with a doubt perception, with a doubt mindset, with a fear mindset? Because that mindset, it's not New Age to say what I'm saying to you. Physics, quantum physics has literally proven what I'm saying to you. So if you think it's the New Age, you're uneducated. It's not the New Age. It's quantum physics, and it's also the Bible. Your perception will ultimately, not in an occultic manner, in a real-life manner, your perception will ultimately create your reality. Not magically, according to the Word of God, and with hard work and planning and obedience, like the Pilgrims and Puritans did. Well, God wants to do it again. You think God ran? Do you think that God ran out of great awakenings after the third great awakening for Christ, which is they're saying it's now? Look, they're talking about a third great awakening, but they need some sound doctrine in that third great awakening, or it's not going to fly very high. Do you think that God Almighty ran out of great awakenings after the first great awakening and the second great awakening, and if we're partially into a third great awakening? You think God ran out of great awakenings? And there's no more power in heaven? Of course not. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. God hasn't run out of great awakenings. Why do you think great awakenings had to stop at number two? Who made up that rule? It's not in the Bible. Why do you think great awakenings had to stop after three? If indeed we're in a third great awakening, and I don't think we're there yet. But who made up that rule? It's not in the Bible. It's just a man-made, invented religious tradition with no basis whatsoever factually in the Word of God. We want to see the almighty power of God move, then we have to realign our thinking with what God's Word actually says and not make up a bunch of religious mumbo jumbo to substitute for it. So let me close with this. I need your help. I need you to stand with me mightily because you're a mighty man and a mighty woman of God. And then number two, I need to remind you, like I need to remind myself, God Almighty, the Supreme Being, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he has not run out of great awakenings. He didn't run out of great awakenings after the first great awakening. He didn't run out of great awakenings after the second great awakening. If we're into whatever degree of a third great awakening, he certainly hasn't run out of a third great awakening or a fourth great awakening. Or guess what? Whatever number of great awakenings and authentic biblical revivals God chooses to pour out on us, so be it. He's God, not you, not me. We don't determine it. We should be welcoming it and seeking it and praying for it. And then this other idea that I hear constantly is just total nonsense. Why is it that every time we talk about an authentic, biblically based, let's say, Third Great Awakening or whatever Great Awakening, that somebody comes along and maligns those words and says there, the Bible says there can be no such thing as a second, third Great Awakening? No, the Bible doesn't say that. You never read that in the Bible. You distorted the Bible. You took verses that do exist and you failed to rightly divide the word. That's the problem. And having failed to rightly divide the word of God, you confused the great apostasy, the arrival of false prophets and false teachers and false messiahs and false teaching. You confuse that with the false notion that there can't be ongoing great awakenings and future great awakenings. Just because they're false prophets, just because there's an apostasy, just because there are false revivals, does not in any way, shape, or form end the number of great awakenings that can occur. Because if you really read the Word of God in its entirety and stopped cherry-picking the Word of God, you would see that God, in His Word, talks about, continues to talk about, now and in the future, God Almighty continues to talk about the fact that there will continue to be great awakenings that are biblical, biblical revivals, and there simultaneously will also continue to be false revivals, false prophets, and false teachers. In other words, it's not one or the other. That's a completely arbitrary man-made idea. It's not one or the other. Both can happen, and both will happen, and both are happening simultaneously. And once you begin to align your mind with the truth, not just some nonsense, you can be an effective spiritual warrior for Jesus Christ, which I pray that you will, in Jesus' name. Anyway, visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Support us, pray for us, distribute our books, spread our message. Join with us, because whether you like it or not, we're in the fight of our lives together. And we either turn the tide of the spiritual battle or we lose the spiritual battle. And guess what? God put the victory or the loss into our hands. If we will function like Joshua and Caleb, we will win a winnable war. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us.